Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 60. No.
Nope.
78.
I know, we've got so many you can't keep track.
Right? It's not a bad place to be. Episode 78 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests record topical conversation and offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is solely supported by our patrons. Help us out today by going to patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I am joined by my co-hosts, the Jen.
Hi.
And Linda.
Hello.
Hey, here's why I misread it, because the notes I have up are for episode 68.
Oops.
Yeah. Excellent. That's fantastic. Good job.
Well, the good news is that you're going to ask me what I've been up to, and I can gladly tell you what I've been up to. It's very exciting this week. I've been working out a lot, but actually not like unhealthy a lot, just like the right amount of a lot, like enough working out for, oh God, it's hard though to consistently do it. I'm tired. So I've been doing a lot of that, back on my health focus, by the way. I am really excited because now on my Fitbit tracker, I had to miss a couple days. It's every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I missed a couple days because I was sick last month, and I was really annoyed because my Fitbit like calendar was like, there was like, I could see the marred week, the week where I missed 2 days. And so now that's gone now. And so now I could just see my whole perfect calendar. Yay. With all of the little green check marks. And it's like so delightfully like satisfying, just to see it and be like, yes. So that was very exciting for me. I've been playing Monster Hunter. I know you're all very surprised, considering how much I have clearly said I hate the game. Just kidding. hours have been spent on this game now, but the good news is that I've killed monsters. I've made pretty armor. I have a little homie that looks like my cat named George, and it is such a fun game. It's such a time sink. It's a good time. I also though started playing Hearthstone. Again, I have been out of it for a really long time, and I'm going to be honest, that 30-pack deal got me in. I went and I bought the 30 packs. You pay less than you would have, and you get 10 packs from each of the sets that are going to be good for the whole year, because it's the year of the mammoth, right? So that deal is really sweet, and I actually got a legendary, got some good cards, obviously disenchanted some cards I didn't need. I disenchanted patches for the full cost, so I could buy an actual legendary that I needed. All in all, it was kind of nice getting back in, having a way to get like enough new cards to actually make some functioning decks. So I did a little bit of that as well.
Awesome. I am so far behind on Hearthstone. I still have not opened it since the last expansion.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was, but this change to the rank play actually motivated me to come back. I like the idea of grinding up and building up rather than like, okay, the season's over, let's go back to the fucking bottom of the barrel again. I like this kind of way they're doing it now, where you can actually climb over time. And I usually am like a rank 7 or 8 player. If I really push it, I can get to like rank 4, but it's going to take me longer to get there, but I feel like I'm going to be playing with the right people as opposed to, I don't know. It just feels right.
Cool. And how about you, Linda? What have you been up to?
Well, I was going to say about the Hearthstone. Sure. It always just makes me giggle because, my husband, a few weeks ago was like, honey, can I buy 50 packs? Like he was like, asking if that was okay, and I was like, sure, sweetie, whatever. And he got like 7 legendaries out of it, and he was all like, you're the best wife ever. So I was just like, you have fun, go have fun, sweetie. With you. I don't play Hearthstone, but he does, and so it just makes me laugh. So first, for what I've been doing, it's time again for another plushie update. So last week,
beep, beep, squish, squish.
Last week I had lots of Yoshis. I've got more Yoshis this week in different colors. I've got a pink and purple.
I need. Sorry. Gosh. It's purple Yoshi. I like purple Yoshi.
Yes. So I eventually will have all the colors. I'm working on blue right now, and then from the live stream that I do, the Venusaur is done. See, he's got his little.
Oh my god! Wow. He came out really good.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
him.
So a little derpy face.
He's cute.
So next, I will be starting Charmander, and I get to, you know, switch up colors away from that. Yeah, Charmander. Let's see. I played a bunch of Slime Rancher. I've actually broken 20 hours now in Slime Rancher, which I don't get to play like super duper often. So for me, that's a big thing. A whole 20 hours in one game. I've managed to make, I don't know if you know very much about Slime Rancher, but there are slimes that you can get called quantum slimes. And what quantum slimes do is that they port themselves by making a projection, and then they decide if they're going to stay where they are, or if they're going to go into the projection. So I have, this is my crazy cat lady playthrough. So I have crossed all of my slimes with tabby slimes. I have indeed literally made Schrodinger's tabby slime. Schrodinger's cat slime, because it's in the corral and not in the corral at the same time. And the only way to keep is to either blast it with water or like walk through the projection and dissipate it. So I'm like trying to keep these slimes in their corral, and like my character's running around like shooting water, basically is doing a squirt gun at all of these cats. I brought this on myself though. Let's see. I attempted to play Terraria, which was the game that was given to me. It was given to me for Christmas, and it was just it was a study in frustration, because yeah. I'm not an old style gamer. I've never played like Minecraft or anything like that, so I don't know if there's like certain controls that you're supposed to know, because it just drops you in, and it's like there you go, and I'm like, what does this? How do I make things? Buttons? What buttons do I push? And I literally died within the first like 20 minutes twice because I couldn't figure out what I was doing.
My
and
son
I just,
and my
I
husband
kinda
love that game. They actually play together. Two of my sons.
FYI,
actually.
I'm glad that some people, I have friends that love the garbage out of that game. I fucking hated it. I played it, I bought it, and I was like, this is the stupidest game ever. And I've played Minecraft and other things, and it is so inaccessible, and, like, you get in there, and it's, like, spinning around, and I'm like, what block am I actually digging up? I don't fucking know. And there's no explanation for anything. I hated it. I am glad that I'm not the only one that had the exact same experience.
Yeah, so, no, I was like, I don't even know how to talk to my guide. I don't know what button to push to talk to him. So he's just sitting there like,
I mean, yeah,
shooting his arrows at the things that are attacking me, and I'm like, I'm sorry dude, I can't help. I don't know what button I'm supposed to push.
I think games that don't realize that you need to have, don't make it forced on people, but give us the option, because I'm totally that person. Exactly, I'm a tutorial player. I want to take, like, all right, fine, I know it's going to be annoying. There's probably parts of it where I'm like, yeah, I click the button, I get it, whatever. But then there's going to be parts of it that are going to be valuable. So tell me the shit that I need to do, please.
Yeah, and I was just, ugh. I might go back now that I found a web page that had, like, all the controls on it, and I might go back and try and play again, or I might find some of my friends that are playing and play with them. But I just, that was not a good... That was not a good introduction. I didn't like that. And then kind of lastly, we finally got to record Glitter Dice Plays. We got together. Nobody was sick. It was great. And Monster Hearts was as hilarious as I thought it was going to be. Cool. Oh, my God. One of my friends was playing, like, the biggest bitch. She was just the biggest bitch. And she was awesome, because it was like, we were like, both the other two, because it was three of us playing, and Joey was GMing for us. And both Kelly and I were like, we just flipping hate you. We hate you. But we have to get your help with this. Damn it.
Oh my goodness.
We had a lot of fun, and there's going to be, like, we recorded for like 9 hours, so there's going to be a lot of those episodes coming out soonish. So wow, that's what I've been doing.
Awesome. So what have I been up to? I went to the Statesville little Comic-Con, and I got such cool stuff. I got some more pint glasses. I've got one with the Empire logo for my husband. Well, only one pint glass. I got Rocks glasses, too.
Imperial Crust.
I got Jedi Rocks glass. All right.
And Stupid Rebellion. Batman. I mean, yay, Rebellion.
And Wonder Woman.
Burton.
And Wonder Star Woman. Trek. And then I got some shot glasses. With Rick and Morty. And
yes.
This wonderful pent from Full Metal Alchemist.
Nice. That's really pretty.
These are all really fantastically well done. They're like hard etched, so they're dishwasher safe and all of that stuff. Kind of like the ones our friend Barbecue Master makes. But this guy is local to me.
Ooh.
That's nice.
Get them and pick them up.
I might have to see if I can get you to go for me. We had a whole set of the Green Lantern, the Lantern Corps shot glasses. My husband loves that.
Uh-huh.
And I actually made a display case for them that light up with the different colors. But the Rage glass got broken.
Oh.
Go figure. So I need to find somebody that can make an etched Rage Red Lantern Corps. There we go. I call them the Rage Lanterns because that's what they are. I might have to hit you up to go do that for me. I'll send money.
The guy is really reasonably priced, and he's local to me, and like really reasonable price. Price does custom work. He also does decals. So I'm going to be his new best friend. So we got
there's a lot of them though
as well.
I was just thinking about all the lanterns. Sorry, I was like, lanterns, there's so many.
There's nine. And I know, because I had to make that many spots.
are missing out on all this, but you can catch us on YouTube or Twitch for such content. But this artist was also fantastic, and we got these prints. We got five for $20. Look at these. This is amazing. Flash.
Ooh, pretty.
And Hellboy.
That's really nice.
Right?
I like that style.
What you guys' name? What do we got?
Is that Punisher?
That's Punisher.
Yep.
Yay!
Punisher all tore up, beat up.
As he should be.
Right?
That's what it always looks like. Is that Penguin?
Yep.
Yeah.
Amazing Penguin, and here we go. Toilet humor for today. We've got Groot.
Aww.
With Deadpool. Sitting in his taco. Around the toilet in his taco. And the artist signed every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of flirting with me. Yep. Which was, I didn't know what to do with it. He kept doing it, like, ooh, look how glamorous you are. You got nice nails. And, like, and he just kept doing it. And it took until we walked away. I'm like, actually, a half an hour later, I'm like, Rob, that artist was flirting with me. He's like, yep. I'm like, oh, well, duh, I'm so dense, but I'll take it. And then Rob got me out of cash in his pocket because I, like, went nuts over this thing from a different artist.
Ooh.
Aww.
Right? And this so reminded me of the postcard I got from Neil Gaiman years ago. Has Frankenstein and the Bride of on it. And for those of you, again, listening audio, you can go look on the on the sites, but it's Frankenstein and his bride, and she's kind of got this like a tattooed arm that's got bandages, and it's this like sweet romantic image of Frankenstein and the bride. So to give full credit to these artists somewhere, I've got their cards. I'll put it on our site in case anybody wants to check out more of their work, because that was really awesome. And I love that buying local stuff. I got a Harley belt. Jen has seen my Bounding Harley Bounding, whatever the hell they call it, you know, wear from Nerdtacular, and I kind of expanding on that. I got a Harley belt, and the buckle is like a seat buckle style buckle.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, and I got one of those, and it was like $25. So that awesome. Was in my world a huge bargain, and I'll wear the shit out of that. So,
hey,
yeah, that's mostly what I did. I bought stuff. It's kind of our pre-Valentine's, you know, we couldn't figure out what to get, so we bought stuff there that we picked out together. Like, when we picked out the art, it's like, you pick one, I pick one. And we'll put it all here for the podcast audience to have see behind me. So.
Hurry.
Yeah, that's what I did. I probably put something else in the notes, but yeah, I don't have the notes.
Nope, that's what you have.
That's what you got.
Okay. So with that, I guess it's time for the Geek Grapevine. So I think we'll start with the story I know Jen had me look up for her, SpaceX.
Yes.
You want to talk about the SpaceX?
Yeah, okay. So
not SpaceX. That's a conversation for another day.
Yes. So we'll have a whole conversation about it another day. But I just want to throw it out there that I, as a little girl, was absolutely obsessed with outer space. Like, I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to go to space. I wanted to study space. I wanted to understand space. Space. I actually have, like, a solar system poster on my ceiling. I have a poster of the Columbia, which was my favorite shuttle. Like, I was just stupid and obsessed. Anyway, so this really just intrigues me. So there was the Falcon Heavy launch that was done. So on Tuesday, February 6th, the Falcon Heavy successfully lifted off, and we'll make sure to have a link here. There's just information. You can go back and watch the webcast. I actually want to watch some of it. I haven't had a chance to watch much of it because I've just been so freaking busy, but I'm going to go back and watch it. And I just, you know, it's just reinvigorating my appreciation for space. We haven't done shit in like 40 years that has actually mattered. Like, we haven't done anything that progressive in so long. I mean, I guess, okay, fine. All right, the International Space Station, sure. I know some people are going to be like, what about the ISS? Which is great. But honestly, there just hasn't really been anything that's, like, just, I don't know, exciting and intriguing. And it's just, like, why not? Like, why are we not doing this? So I was just really excited. I thought it was really cool, the coverage on it. And people are like, oh, well, how stupid he put his car up there. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Why not? Honestly, if you're going to have to put something up there and it's just like you want to test the weight and whatnot, you need to have it weighed down. Why the hell not? Just throw, you know, I don't know. It makes sense to me. To clarify, is Elon Musk put the Tesla Roadster in. The Tesla Roadster is what is blasting through space. yeah. So I don't know. It just, and he put don't panic on the dashboard. I mean, it's just, there's totally just like all you nerds out there, they're there, you know, you love outer space, which is great. But yeah, check it out. Look at it. It's really cool. And we should totally talk more about it. So I think we should talk about space. That's a future episode for sure. We'll talk about space stuff some more.
We'll have the space companion, the space cube. We'll just have that playing in the background. The space.
Yes.
I was making a bad dad joke about space sex, and it totally went over your head. Anyway, I might have a sex obsessed problem. So,
Linda, mostly because I misheard you. Now I get it. Lol.
All right. Linda, did you find the spill?
I did. I found the spill for this
She's
week.
Caught the bug.
There was actually one that I found that was like a little, like actually in February, but the driver passed away, so I didn't want to do that one. So this is from January 31st of this year, in New Jersey. Apparently, There was a tractor trailer that rode a flat tire until it burst into flames, and then the truck overturned and spilled 31 tons of laundry products into the roadway.
Holy crap.
That's an unnecessary amount of laundry crap, first of all. Second of all, like...
Well, they were in...
Catch that on fire.
I don't know. Like, that's... The driver escaped unharmed. The fire department put out the blaze.
That's shocking to me, by the way.
Yeah. But apparently, like, the laundry products were being carried in pallets, which is... So they were, like, stacked and stacked. So that was why there was so much of them.
Oh, my God.
So it took, and this was in January, so it was during, when it was snowing.
Oh, don't worry, people are still having snow now.
Yeah, but, like, so apparently, it was Tuesday night, and they were still, like, it was just awful with the snow mixing with the laundry products on, like, Wednesday morning.
It was in New Jersey, by the way.
Yes, oh, New Jersey. Yeah, it was New Jersey,
Holy
so.
Crap.
Trying to clean that up,
I can't even imagine. Like, that stuff is... Have you ever gotten just laundry soap on your hand when you're doing, like, laundry?
Yeah.
Like, and it just feels disgusting. It's, like, one of the most disgusting feelings of all time. And, like, you have to, like, rinse it off, and that's because that's what it's supposed to do, right? But it's, like, I don't know. It's a goopy, viscous liquid. Nasty. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's brutal. Really...
Yep. So that was a good one. I liked it. I think the other one was fish. But again, I didn't want to do that one because the driver didn't actually survive. So the funny was offset by the not funny. So
that's fair.
Yeah. But I found, so that was the spill for this week.
Well,
so silly.
I guess so many stories for Jen this week. I found something about Monster Hunter. Apparently,
oh,
you can
wear
Alloy's attire with a limited Monster Hunter World event. This story came out yesterday on the Game Informer website, so you can read all about that there. It's apparently called The Proving.
Hmm.
Well, I like that it's like, so this is the Horizon, all right, hold on, so.
Yeah, it's Horizon Zero Dawn themed stuff, apparently.
I thought it would be bread themed. They're proving things.
Oh, right. Proofing.
Sorry.
Oh, but I'm sure. I got that one. I heard that one correctly.
That was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think it's cool that they're doing these little events, and I have to say, the game is just fun. It's just a fun game. I just really wish that they'd figured out how to get it on PC so I don't have to play it on a console, but it's fun. You get to have a kitty pal that, like, heals you and, like, runs around. You can put in adorable outfits. Like, it's like, and he stands on two legs. I mean, how can you be upset about it?
Man, if I had cosmetic items for Xenoblade 2, I would never leave. I have enough problem leaving. So anyway, I guess now on to our main topic. Today we're going to talk about fanfic, fan art, derivative works, and, where they come from, where they're going, how we feel about them. There's a very wide variety. It's something I thought was worth bringing up a long time ago. I'm gonna start this off with, I wondered for the longest time, I was like, that's gotta be an urban myth. I don't even understand. Like, that 50 Shades of Grey came from Twilight fanfic. This is apparently true. I will include in the notes a link to it.
So we can continue
source.
To blame Twilight for all the problems in literature that has been released in of all forms, video and book.
I mean, maybe.
I'm just kidding. Those of you that like Twilight, that's cool. You know what?
Sure.
Honestly, anything that makes people read, I appreciate.
And still a better love story than 50 Shades of Grey.
And the thing about Twilight that annoys me is I have read other works by the author.
Yes.
The Host series is actually very good.
It's like, and she dumbed down her writing so that it would have mass appeal.
Yeah, and I just, that annoys me.
That annoys, like, me too, yeah.
Why? Your other series were good and well written.
Well, the...
I mean, congratulations on selling out, I guess. I don't even know if you'd call it that.
Well, it's funny because the article that I found also pointed to how... actually turning that fanfic, the person who wrote the fanfic and posted it on Reddit, and it's like many, many, many 110-part series that has turned into a money machine, because now 50 Shades is like putting out a movie every damn Valentine's Day. And a really interesting thing I saw today, and I didn't get a chance to watch any, but I was going to check it out, that it has, somebody went ahead, went further and used The Sims 3 to make a video series out of the fanfic.
Yes. Good. Good.
Wow.
I think someone, there was a very, very terrible, and it was so terrible, it was infamous. There was a very terrible Harry Potter fan fiction years and years ago that somebody actually, like, shot a live action, like, thing of it. It was called My Immortal. I never read it, but I know it exists because it was so bad that other people knew it exists and had to tell me about it.
Yeah, actually, I was mixing that up. The one that has 110 series thing with the, and they've done the YouTube, that's a Harry Potter one, but it's one my husband actually likes and he's reading, Harry Potter and something reality.
Oh, is that the one where it's like, it's rewriting it where the characters are actually like smart?
Yeah. Instead of the Dursleys. Well, it's like, I guess it's still his aunt, but she married a scientist.
Yes, I've actually heard of that. Yeah. I didn't know that was still going on.
You know, it's funny that we talk about 50 Shades of Grey coming out of, like, out of a fanfic situation. Is, I think, one of the best examples for me of derivative work that surpasses the original is the fact that Half-Life Counter-Strike was a Half-Life 2 mod. And that's what it was. And it absolutely surpassed the original game and has been one of the most important first person shooters like out there. And yeah, it started as a mod to a video game.
Like, well, that's an interesting thought. It's like fan fiction, fan art, that kind of thing. Mods are kind of for video games, mm-hmm. what the writing and art is for, you know, movies and the like.
Oh yeah,
I mean there's fan fiction obviously for games as well, but mods are kind of oh no, where'd Jin go?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Skype decided to that I didn't need a window anymore. I'm still here. Hi. Oops. Bye. I'm still here.
Anyway, so but like mods are another creative way that people can, you know, add to their fandom. Because, you know, it's the question of why do you write fan fiction? Why do you do fan art? It's they either really like it and they want their favorite characters to have more adventures, or maybe they're just really inspired, or maybe they're trying to fix it. I don't know.
Well, things like the Harry Potter one, and by the way, it's Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality is the name of that series. I think you get, like, people who write fanfic, and it's like, why don't you make your own characters? I remember Linda brought that up last week. Well, sometimes you get really, really inspired. I know I scribbled a few stories when I was reading Dragonlance back in the day where, I mean, there are characters that have adventures, and you feel for one, and you really like one, and you feel like you can add to that and, you know, fill in blanks or give them another story. And if you're inspired, I mean, why not, you know, go for it? Obviously, you don't want to sell it.
I mean, that's the hard part, is that, you know, how do you, you want to respect the original work, but at the same time, I don't know, sometimes it is about fixing it. Like, I think one of my favorite fanfics I read is one where, this is obviously back before we actually knew that Neville ended up to be kind of a badass at the end. But it was a fan fiction where Harry dates Hermione and, Harry dates somebody else, but Hermione is dating Neville. And he kind of like starts to do it. And it's really interesting because like he like is an earlier thing. And I don't know, it's kind of interesting to see, like, if I guess from like as a role player, like playing tabletop games and LARP, it's interesting to kind of take it and be like, okay, well, what if like this was different? Then where would the story go? And kind of play with those characters and the concepts and the archetypes that are already there, and just kind of play with it. And that's one of the things I do like about fan fiction sometimes. And I love fan art. I love, especially if it's, if I love something, I want more of it. And if there's only so much of it, then I will take whatever more of it I can have.
And there's a lot of bad. There's a lot of bad.
Yeah. But there's also, there's amazing ones, like, especially with, you know, fan art. I have seen just some incredible, like, incredibly talented people that have just made these gorgeous pieces. I mean, the stuff you got from the Comic-Con is, you know, it's basically fan art, but it's awesome. And you're
just
like...
Just thinking about it, I think every poster that I have or piece that I have, like, in my house that depicts a comic book character is actually a fan art piece. I don't think I have anything that's, like, an original... Like an actual print. And no, that's right. I have one Rogue. I have one Rogue.
That may be the case with me as well. Yeah. I did ask, I didn't hear back from the Legal Geek today, Buckeye Fitzy, because I was curious if there is an organization other than, I don't know what artist guild it would be for that kind of visual art. If there is something they should be or can be paying into, like BMI or ASCAP for musicians, where... You know, I mean, is this a copyright issue? Should they be paying a royalty? Or, you know, I mean, as long as... Because I know I've seen artists go after other artists. In the comic industry, there have been plenty of legal battles about who created a character, and then other people are profiting off of the property. And, I mean, we always end up feeling, well, like a lot of people end up feeling like this is indie art, basically. So it's kind of a different category, and it really only... It helps people... who already have the interest get more excited, you know, it feeds back in. But should that exist to protect both parties if it doesn't already? And if somebody knows, let me know.
Yeah, yeah. And the sad part is, I'm going to burst your bubble a little bit. The sad part is it is copyright infringement in a lot of cases, and especially distributing it and making money off of it, which sucks. But it is actually like...
But it's so prevalent, and you're not seeing these artists going into Comic-Con and like...
Exactly.
You know, freaking out about it. So there's some kind of understanding within the industry for the most part, I think.
Well, yeah, because they look at it as like basically you're advertising for us. And I think that's where it comes from. I think that if, you know, is it really going to behoove like a comic book company to go and like, or like, okay, here's another good example. Blizzard, how many fanfic t-shirts, prints, whatever, right? Does it behoove for World of Warcraft? Does it behoove them to go and be like, oh, Bobby Jensen is selling $15 prints at this event. We're going to go and...
Well, no, instead they have an amazing
people are
content.
Excited about your game and people are like, oh, what's that from? Oh, I play that? I've never played it. Great, now I'm going to go spend $15 and a month to play your game. And I think that's where that balance is. I think where you start to get into trouble is like, I don't know if you remember with the whole situation with the Star Trek movie, with that whole thing where they were like actually creating it, and that was legitimately gonna make money. Like that was a serious situation, and that was where they were like, okay, this is a problem. And I think that's where you're right. It is like the line is hard to tell because it isn't enforced by a lot of, it is kind of industry accepted that people are gonna make art of your art.
And here's the question. Here's the question. So are all those remakes just that particular producer slash writer's fan fiction of the original? Are the remakes fan fictions?
I feel like all the rebirth in DC is literally like fan fiction of comic book characters. I've been literally thinking that for a long time. Don't get me wrong. I love them, but I do honestly feel that way a little bit.
So then I didn't like screenplay.
Like the comic book artists.
Writers.
What was that?
Then you're looking at screenplay writers as authors of fan fiction, right?
Yeah. I firmly believe that the Transformers live action movies were just all Michael Bay's fan fictions. And they,
Titanic money. He doesn't care what you think, but still. I mean,
I don't care that he doesn't care what I think.
They're just
I will rage out for travesty, except for the very first one.
And I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. They're fucking terrible. I love Transformers, so it makes me so mad. I actually have my
Transformers Prime was so good. Transformers Prime, the animated series was so good, and then there was that crap that was being thrown up on the big screen, and I'm like, why?
Shit all over the thing that you love.
Put the other on the big screen. I like it better.
I do have a good story of that I found today. Game Informer came in the mail, and so I don't know when this. If you belong, you know, you got it in the mail. I don't know when it goes online, if it does. But this was this really cool story. It's called Crafting Characters, and it's about Christine Escalambre. When she was 18, she sent Nintendo samples of her custom jewelry. Like, she had, like, a Pinteresty, she made jewelry, and it got a rejection letter from Nintendo eventually, but she didn't give up hope. And now, she's known as Ganda Chris, and she is a prominent custom amiibo artist. Mm. She started, when she was in high school, making Pokemon and stuff for her little sisters, and she would, like, cut them out of paper, and then she was always having to redraw them because they would rip the arms off because they would battle with them. And then she kind of moved on to, you know, make them with clay, and she was going to art school, and she was also going to art, she was going to school to make video games, and these figurines didn't exist, and she was making Pokemon figurines. And she played a lot of Super Smash Brothers, I guess. And I guess the first amiibo she owned was a Pikachu, because that was her primary in Smash. And it's just really neat. She watched it take off, and she ended up, now she works for Nintendo. And this article's really neat because it's got some of her, like, original, like, you can tell it's homemade stuff. But she was making things that look like amiibos before, which way am I going? Amiibos were a thing. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get in front of the camera with the leg. But now she's actually getting to work there and make amiibos. So she turned basically fan art into a thing, a career.
It's funny because a lot of the people where it's like, how did you get started? And they're like, oh, I really liked it, and I was doing this thing that's, like, adjacent to it, or I was writing poetry about it, or I'm just kept throwing it out there. But, like, I hear those stories a lot, you know, which is kudos to these companies for going, oh, okay, you're passionate about our stuff. You have a cool skill, come to us. We'll pay you to do that stuff. And I think that's great. It is interesting that the line is so, and one of the things that we talked about a little bit is, we were talking about this topic that came up, is things like music covers, right? And parody. Those are things where it's like, that line is so weird. Like, okay, like, can I just go? And if I make a cover, if I cover a song, what requirements do I have to hold to then go and sell a song?
Parody and satire are covered legally. They have a certain amount of protection under the law. I know that. For covers, if you're going to even perform them live, technically you're supposed to be registered with BMI and or ASCAP and paying someone. Unfortunately, there's a lot of just bullshit scammy people out there, and some are legit, but the artists still never see the money. There are people that go around, even locally, we've had them come into bars and say something, going, they go to the owners, and they're like, I represent ASCAP, and your artist is playing covers, and you have to pay X amount of dollars per year, or you can't, you know, have anybody playing any covers in here. And then bar owners, you know, music venues, like, shrink down. They stop having people in. They buy into this predatory practice that goes on when most artists wouldn't give a shit. And the BMI and ASCAP aren't really all that applicable. Like, unless you're selling records, money's not going to get back to the artist anyway. So,
I mean, let's be honest, you paying $5 cover charge or buying beers at a bar, you know, basically is the compensation that comes from you playing a song. That musician is getting basically airplay of that song. And somebody might be, again, it comes back down to like getting people excited. It's basically marketing for you. It depends on what somebody's doing. Now, if I go and I make a cover album of like the Jen talk raps every great song that she loves from the 80s, and then I sell it and it makes a whole bunch of money, that's a problem if I haven't properly followed the channels and I'm using their words exactly and things like that. But
it's
like,
funny, my husband is actually nagging his band right now, like as far as I know, at practice, because he's like printing out all the forms, like we have to sign up before we put an album out so that we're in the record, you know.
You're protected. No, you know, parody. So one of my favorite, I love parody. Parody is one of my favorite things. Like Celebrity Deathmatch. Like that's the one first thing that comes to mind. And again, it's not like in Weird Al. Like those are the two things that come to my mind first. And with when I say Celebrity Deathmatch, keep in mind that those some of those characters that those people are those likenesses of those celebrities are characters that they basically registered trademarks on. Right. So it is parodying those, something that is, you know, copyrighted essentially. But like in Weird Al, like I think about Weird Al, like
I love Weird Al so much.
I love him. And like the Foil song and then the Pretty Fly for a Rabbi is probably one of my favorite things of all time. The Foil one is like so good. It's like that song was so, the original song was so big that like, oh, his so fun. I love it. It's so good.
My babysitter used to let me get back out of bed after my sister went to bed and stay up late and listen to Dr. Demento on the radio.
Yeah. See, we had Weird Al, not this last year, but the year before. He was the artist at, or the performer at BlizzCon, which was really cool. To get to see him in that like live.
Cool.
So I mean, what about Robot Chicken? Because you mentioned parody porn, right? Do we feel like we should extend that far to that kind of ridicule? What?
I was holding it. I hadn't mentioned it yet, except in our conversation beforehand. Yeah, my favorite version of parody. Real talk is parody porn. So there's a studio that makes This Isn't the Blank XXX. And it's literally everything you can think of, they've done a porn parody of. And they are well-produced, hilarious, so awesome. And yeah, I sometimes wonder.
I wonder if that falls under the satire parody clause.
Just I mean, what about pirates?
Porn parodies of stuff like that.
That being Pirates and Pirates 2 was a huge moneymaker as an adult film. I can't remember, it was like Evan Stone or whatever the hell his name is, the dreamy Fabio-esque main guy. That was a moneymaker, and it was basically Pirates of the Caribbean, but like they called it Pirates and Pirates 2, like pirates of an unknown type or unnamed type specifically. And not relative to this conversation, but speaking of the Pirates of the Caribbean, I do find it funny that because they've updated the ride, because I just gone a couple months ago, they updated the ride. So it's literally a ride about the movies that they made based on the original ride.
Yep.
Just saying. Anyway, that aside, where does porn parody fall in here? Like those porn parodies, like Lord of the G-Strings and gosh, what's the Harry Potter?
I think it falls squarely under Rule 34 is my understanding.
Hmm.
I'm trying.
Come on! You don't know.
Honestly,
what kind of nerds are you? That was a great joke. Things.
No, I'm mostly just trying to hold back from talking about a Rule 34 thing that we discovered recently in game night last week that you probably don't want to know about, but I'm going to say it now because I can't not say it. Because you brought it up. So on a Rule 34 level, Rule 34, for those that don't understand, is basically that, like, how do you put it? Like, everything, if you can think it, it exists somewhere on the internet and somebody's made porn out of it. Like, basically, like, it's basically Rule 34.
Yep.
So we were talking about furry porn and, like, animals that you wouldn't expect to find in furry porn. So, of course, it's carrying on the conversation. Somebody happened upon airplane porn, which apparently is a huge area of of like art that is out the cartoon porn art is airplanes having sex with other airplanes, which really
I thought of the movie Airplane, and it was like Leslie Nielsen and O.J. Simpson, and it was way worse than
imagine a very voluptuous lady plane having a very sexy time with a sturdy gray male plane in comic.
Wasn't that a Pixar movie? Yeah. Didn't Pixar make a planes movie?
I probably. I don't know if I want to think about those two things at the same time. So anyway, Rule 34, that's a thing. But yeah, like, honestly, though, that made a lot of money. I remember that was a huge, huge moneymaker. Like, people that I know that didn't even care about porn knew about Pirates and Pirates 2. Mm-hmm. That, like, people that don't buy porn and just watch porn on the internet were like, oh, I totally bought Pirates 2. I'm like, really? Like, what is the deal? Like, and I wonder if they got in trouble for that. Oh, the panda. Oh, no.
With a unicorn horn.
Oh, no. Unicorn panda.
What is this?
Why?
I don't know. I sent a picture to my husband. I went to Walmart today and I found a stuffed animal in the Valentine's stuff, and it was a panda with a fucking unicorn horn. And then like three steps away, there was a big bin with pharmacy stuff in it. It was all Unisom and pregnancy tests. I'm like, holy shit, what were you thinking?
They're probably thinking, well, we know what people get up to on Valentine's Day. Let's make sure that they've got all this stuff.
Eek.
Eek. Oh, man.
It's like they put the plan B, like at the, what somebody was saying at the pharmacy, the plan B is right next to the antidepressants, you know, because they just fill them at the same time. I was like, what?
Damn.
But like, honestly, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Hooray. So go have sexy time with people, but be safe, FYI. That's pretty much what I'm saying here. but like, I really do legitimately enjoy, I don't watch them for the porn aspect, which even if I did, it's like whatever, but I find them hilarious and they're so well written, and like the writers that they get to do those and like the way that they bend it into it, because like, they take every story and like make it a sex story, which is not, it's sometimes harder than you think. Sometimes a little bit more difficult than you think. Like, this is not the Munsters. XXX was like one of my favorites. Like, that one's so silly. Anyway, but yeah.
Well, you know, coming back around to just regular, like, fan fiction, like in writing fan fiction, people do that all the time. They want their two favorite characters to bang. That's what they want. And so they write about it.
I'm thinking of Spike and Angel. From mm-hmm. Buffy, that was huge. Like, Slash, that was huge. Yeah. Like, people were so into that. Like, the Angel Slash, what's it, a Spike? So I said, it's like Spike. Is that his name? That is his name, right?
Yeah, that is his name. Yeah.
Okay, I felt like I was wrong for a second. Yeah, that was huge. Or, like, the other one I'll see a lot of is, like, oh, what's the Harry Potter one? The two adults that, like, get together.
There were a few. Stupid
and Serious was like a big one for a while.
Yeah, Lupin, that was
like, wait.
It might have been Serious and I've seen pairings of like almost everything. So yeah, it's just whatever they want. And you know what? It's fan fiction, so they can write about whatever their little heart desires.
And is it one of that stuff though they're not making money on though? So it's different. It's like that's the thing. I feel like it's like you can get away with it until you're like making a lot of money on it, and then there's a conversation to be had.
Yeah, but that's most things on like fanfiction.net or AO3 they're all like nonprofit. In fact, the sites themselves are run by the people that are part of the site, donating money to the site itself to keep the site running. So they're not, you know, making money off of these. In fact, they're usually paying to keep their stories up, which I find interesting. It's a way to keep their art alive.
So what kind of fan art or fan fiction do you like? Is there anything in particular that you actually really enjoy?
I actually like, there's some artists that do really good Transformers fan art. They do like... I don't know how. I know this much, a little like inch between my fingers, this much about like GIMP and Photoshop. But these people can like put these characters in and color them with all of the Photoshop and the whatever they're doing, and I'm like, I don't know how you make that look like that. I don't know how you make it look like actual metal. I'm impressed. I like your work. I'm going to give you a thumbs up or whatever on DeviantArt. So it's like, I really enjoy really good fan art of the Transformers fandom. And I'm trying to remember. There was one I was into a long time ago, but I am having trouble remembering which one it was.
Mentioning that just made me think of something that I hadn't really thought of until just now, but a few years back, being a part of a very, very large LARP organization that had been playing for 20 years.
Did they do LARP fiction? Because my LARP does that.
We did that. People did LARP fiction, but this was actually with the company itself. So these publishers had this material that was published and had been out of print for 10 or 15 years. They were like the only people that still care about it. Like there are people that call it Old World of Darkness, and a lot of people were playing the New World of Darkness games. And the only way you could really even buy the books anymore was to buy them at used bookstores or find people that were getting rid of their collection. But it was funny because like we're running these large LARP or this huge LARP organization. And so what would happen? Players would come up with like custom powers and whatnot and kind of adapt or change or adjust. Or maybe, you know, the publishing company only gave us this little bit about it. And then we would, as storytellers or coordinators, expand on it and then make these genre documents where we reference these books and say, hey, this is this thing that's here. But here's where we expand on it and like grow it out. And it was a huge situation where there was potential lawsuit situation. And we were just like, what, like, we just want to use your crap and play it. And like, you're not selling it anyway.
Yeah,
if you were selling it, that'd be fine. But like, you literally do not sell this anymore.
And there's there's tons of places, I think, on like Reddit and places like that where you can find a whole bunch of fan-made like supplements now.
Oh yeah.
Like I think my husband is almost done making his. I don't remember what he called it, but he was fiddling with all of the like placements a while back. It was driving him crazy. but he was making it for 40K, and you know, there's tons and tons of these, you know, you can, and obviously there's supplements that are made by, you know, affiliates, because I can't remember if Ink Monkeys for Exalted is actually affiliated or if that was just their own fan base thing. But yeah, you can find it everywhere. And it's like, you can like look at it and be like, yeah, I want to use this, or nah, I don't like the way that looks. It's really cool.
I will say this publisher in particular, we did manage to work things out because they started making them available through another site. So there was an opportunity for us to like print on demand them and buy the books again. And then with that, we agreed to like certain rules and limitations on what we would put in our genre guides. But it is interesting that it was like, okay, we were like loving your stuff. Like, it's not about like, it's actually making us like more involved and want to buy more things. But it is one of those things where I think that it all comes back down to who's making money on it. And I feel like that's where, and I don't know if I feel good about that. I feel like I want artists to be respected. That's why I think the royalty system for music is, it's good and bad. People don't honor it a lot, but I do think it's good that people understand that concept. And I don't think they even think about it with fan art sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we have fan art. We should get her to do one for Linda.
Yeah, we do have fan art.
We do. I'm enjoying it. It's taking me forever to read that Frostblood. I know I've talked about it before. I should be getting a tablet soon because my screen broke my iPad, but it's the Jaina's the Lich King one, kind of an alternate path. I mean, World of Warcraft has canon, right? But I love the idea of characters that I know and love, and somebody took that path and they did a really good job writing that one. I will post a link in that to our show notes. Anything else before we wrap up our topic, folks?
No, I would say if you, the listeners, have something fandom that you really like and you're getting inspired by it, go for it. you know, your first fan fiction may not be very good, but keep at it. You know, the more you write or draw or whatever, the better you're going to get. So, and maybe after, you know, some time, you'll, you know, feel confident enough to make your own content. And that's
I'm so glad you mentioned it. That is exactly what I was going to say, is I do think that there are a lot of things that wouldn't have existed if there weren't opportunities to practice maybe in somebody else's world that they built and then expand on it. And then, yeah, you get that confidence to be able to go out and build your own world. And I think that's cool. I think there's room for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an excellent, excellent point. We always want to encourage artists. Always. Please chime in. Let us know your favorite fan art. Send us some. Make us some. We're good with that. You can email us at geekreels@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. So, girls, what are you most anticipating coming up?
Black Panther. I'm really excited about it. I got tickets for it. We're going to go see Aventura. I'm going to go see it this weekend. I am super stoked. It still has very high ratings around Tomatoes. It has, I think it's now the highest grossing pre-sales for any comic book movie so far. So it's going to be kind of nuts. It hasn't even come out yet. It's already breaking records. So I think it's awesome. I just think they did a really good job capturing the image of the world so much. I think it's going to be awesome. I know it's going to be awesome. So speaking of my return to Hearthstone, it is actually a valiant return to Hearthstone because I joined a 3-person team for the TESPA Hearthstone College tournament thing. Ooh. So I go to University of Phoenix, so I found other University of Phoenix players, and you play together. And so I joined a team, and it's weird because we all go to the same school, but none of us live in the same state, but we can still play under the tournament format anyway. Again, so the people that probably do live at the same school physically. Anyway, very interesting. So we'll see how that goes.
Cool. How about you, Linda?
Well, I am looking forward to the Valentine's Day dinner that my husband and I are going to. I put that in quotes because we always try to go the day before or the day after. Obviously, this is the day before. So we're going to go on Thursday to the Melting Pot, which is a place I actually haven't been to in probably a year and a half now. And it's always fun. It's a big fondue place. So you go and you get like a 4-course dinner that has like the cheese fondue, and then you get a salad, and then like the main fondue where it's like boiling oil that you stick your food in. Then you get your dessert, and you know, it's a lot more food than you think it is. You're like, fondue is not going to fill you up. It fills you up a lot. I do remember that.
The only time I ate that, I felt like it was like, this isn't very much food at all. And then when I left, I was like, that was a lot of food.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And don't go out to dinner on Valentine's Day. It's really, really crowded. I mean, by the time this comes out, it'll be after Valentine's Day, but those 4 people that have to work on Valentine's Day at the restaurants, be kind.
Well, I could tell that it was Valentine's Day week because like all of the flower deliveries are happening at work where everybody's getting flowers delivered. I feel like it's funny because it's like it's these boyfriends or husbands like new, like did you see the arrangement that so-and-so got from her boyfriend? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, so-and-so got this from her husband. It's like, if they had any idea the conversations that happen about the arrangement they sent, and they like compare them and stuff, I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay. Like, cool. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Candy's good. Yay.
Candy is good. I was gonna, well, we talked about in pre-show. We're gonna go to dinner probably on Valentine's Day, but we'll probably go to the strip club because you can buy a glass of wine, get a free steak, and we both like boobies, and it won't be very crowded. Well, it might be, but
I don't know. Maybe you get like Valentine's Day lover specials.
I don't know.
I went and we checked the site and we talked. Well, we didn't. We checked the site and it's just their regular Wednesday. They don't apparently have a special thing going on, so it'll be what they do every Wednesday at this nice club we go to. Like, we've met the owner. They escort the girls out to their cars. We know some of the girls. They have, instead of spending a bunch of money on stuff like table dances, they have a massage therapist that comes around. And that's what I usually spend my money on. So for like, you know, instead of however ridiculous amount of money lap dances usually are for a song, for like $10, I can get a massage for a song. And she's gorgeous, and she smells so good. Her name is Amy, and she works at a spa, but she comes to strip club, and she gives me a massage, and she always remembers, like, she's a legit massage therapist, like, that I get this knot on the back of my right shoulder where I had an injury once, and she's like, oh, it's better this time. When's the last time you went to the chiropractor? So, fuck, awesome. I'm going to get a great steak. It's like a really cheap, wonderful date. I mean, yeah, we're weird, but whatever.
Yeah, steak and a massage sounds awesome.
Right? And we meet, like, the strippers that have, like, you know, shit like Zelda tattoos, and we're like, hey, look at my, you know, my Doctor Who tattoo. And so, anyway, and when we get off tonight, my husband just texted, he's done with band practice, he's going out for a pint, so I'm going to make some candy and try to hide it before he gets home. I'll make some peanut butter melt-aways. So, yeah, that and, of course, Black Panther. That's got to happen.
Oh, yeah, of course. Black Panther.
ASAP.
Mm-hmm. So, just as a reminder, everyone, this fabulous show that you've been listening to is wholly and entirely supported by our patrons. We love and adore all of our patrons. You guys are the bestest people on the internet in the world. We love you so much. If you would like to become a patron, you can do that at patreon.com/grills. GRILLS. And I've actually updated the goals there. Our current goal is to try to get to $100 a month so that we can do a monthly game night with the grills. And that would be super fun. So help us get there. Even if it's $1, if it's whatever, you know, Ember's actually making sure you end up on the website because Jen was always super slow about that. So that's a cool thing. become a patron. And plus, if you do it at a higher level, we send you crap. I have crap to send people, so people should support us so I can send them crap.
The episodes like are actually going on YouTube now, too.
We have like game codes, and we're on YouTube and stuff. Yeah, so good stuff happening there. And, yeah, so if you can support us, please do. We love and adore you all.
We need thousands of dollars a month so we can pay a producer.
Oh my God, yeah, that would be great. I don't even need that much for a producer. I just need somebody to want. Like some starving college kid that wants to have an upgrade to ramen on a weekly basis, and we can help them out.
Mm-hmm. You can also leave us iTunes reviews. We love them, and they are free to leave. They help our ranking on iTunes, which can help other people find us, which, you know, might end up with more patrons. So it's kind of a roundabout thing. Let's see. You can also join our Facebook and follow us on Twitter, and then help us spread the word there.
I know we got at least one love click on whatever Android built-in podcaster. I don't know. Somebody, a friend of mine at the D&D game showed up and was like, I loved your cast. Okay. However that works. So if you love us somewhere else, let us know so we can find those reviews.
Yeah. Tell us where they are. We'll read them.
We will. Where can we find you on the interwebs, ladies?
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming just in general on the Glitter Dice podcast. We'll also be having Glitter Dice Plays coming out soon. Just you can listen to me be a random monster teenage girl on there for a couple of episodes. You can also find me on Twitch under the name True Noob. It's TRUN00B. That's where I do my Pokemon making streams. So you can find me there.
I can be found at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. All my stuff is also at roadspokeproductions.com. And mark your calendars for Friday, March 2nd, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. I will be on the Mind of a Geek podcast. I'll make sure everybody has links. But mark your calendars. It's coming up very soon.
Yay!
Sweet. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Authors and Dragons podcast. This is some local folks, but they've been going a long time, have a good Patreon going. It's 6 fantasy authors, 5 heroes, 1 epic disaster. I had a really great conversation with this guy about what terrible heroes they are, playing Pathfinder and wrecking universes. Apparently they're just bad at it, but I'm looking forward to spending more time with him, and hopefully we will have at least one of them on the podcast soon as a guest. I can be reached at 9of12. It's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast, and that streams at Caffeine Induced Productions TV on Twitch. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.